Welcome back to another episode of Football at the Bar with your host, T.A. and G-Money, bringing you all the highlights, talking mess, and all the plays you shouldn't have missed.
What's up, everybody? This is Football at the Bar, and we're your host. I'm T.A.
And this is your people, Uncle Chuckers.
And we're here to talk about some NFL football action. So, ladies and gentlemen, super excited to be here with you. Appreciate all of you guys joining us. And very quickly, I need you to do me a quick favor. I need you to like, subscribe, and download. Let's get that out the way.
Yes,
go do it right now. Like, subscribe, download. Take care of us because we're going to take care of you. And we're happy to be here with all of you. And what we're drinking on is that very sweet cognac. Yes. But this week, we're drinking on Domaine's. I bet y'all don't even know about that. So get your church up. Mm-hmm. Go find that Domaine's because it's a bomb.
Oh, it's doing
first time you had it, huh?
And it's doing this
thing. And it's off the hook. So I would strongly encourage you, go find that Domaine's because it is silky, silky smooth. And so with that being said, we're being brought to you by ATB Media Network. And let's talk some football. Because, you know, we at that time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
To where, you know, this is hope and wish season. This is, you know, when people have these dreams and these aspirations of their team being phenomenal. You know, we are literally within 30 days, less than 30 days now, of this NFL draft where these teams have the opportunity to completely change the trajectory from where they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Some, hopefully most, will be able to go in an upward trajectory. But the reality is some, if not most, are not going to make that perfect pick. So this is so important right now in terms of what the teams do to sit over here and get ready for next year's season. So, you know, we've had an opportunity to talk a little bit about the draft, talk about some quarterbacks, talk about some wide receivers. And this past week, we had two quarterbacks, very important quarterbacks to this process, have their pro days. You had Drake May, who didn't even compete at the combine. And then you also had Penix, who had a hell of a combine.
Absolutely.
And also had a hell of a pro day.
Yep.
So, you know, what's your thoughts on those two quarterbacks?
I think the one thing that I can be honest with you about is that Penix did what he's supposed to do. That dude is he sounds like he's the truth. He didn't mind putting it on the line, performing in front of the big lights. He didn't have a problem coming to do it again in his pro day. And I think he showed the stouts, you know, at the end of the day, man, this is, you know, just give me a shot. You know, if you put me on the field with anybody else and just give me a shot and give him a shot, I think I'll perform. And I think that's what he showed in his pro day.
Unequivocally. And I think he's kind of being, like slept on,
right,
kind of doubted.
Right.
And it's really comes to just one single game that has removed him out of high first round consideration and by many pundits moved to the second round. And that was just the national championship game, him having a bad game.
Right.
But, you know, when people really look at it, the past 2 years, he's led football in passing. You know, he's a quintessential pocket quarterback. They talk about, oh, you know, where are those quintessential pocket quarterbacks, the ones that can sit there and just sling it around? This isn't the quarterback position is about throwing. It's not about running.
Right.
I want to make all those reasonings why some quarterbacks aren't that great. And then when you have a quarterback right here that doesn't run, that's his first thought process or second initial thought process whenever time he's feeling any pressure, doesn't run. He sits in there and slings it down the field.
Right.
Then the excuse is that he just has great receiving core. And also some of the concerns is he was hurt. But he was hurt 3 years ago.
True.
He had a couple of major injuries three years ago.
He
hasn't been hurt in 3 years. And he's been balling out. And so he's been slept on. But he showed you at the combine that he doesn't mess around. He's not fucking around at all. He shows you at his pro day that he actually does have speed. Just because he chooses not to run doesn't mean he can't run.
I mean,
he ran a 4.5,
which is great for a quarterback.
Which is great. Phenomenal for a quarterback. Better than Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? He jumped 36 inches, which is that's very impressive. I mean,
so
that means he can dunk.
You're right.
You know, so he has great measurables and he has a great arm and he can show you what he can do if he has great talents on the wideout. So I'm excited about him. I think he is going to creep into the first round, maybe not as high as the four other quarterbacks, which we're talking about Caleb Williams, we're talking about Jalen Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy. I actually think he's better than both J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. But people be saying, you know, I'm talking crazy. But, you know, Drake May, there's a reason why. I still believe there's a reason why his coach didn't lean on him. to pass the ball. I mean, you having games where he literally didn't pass the ball in the second half.
You talking about McCarthy?
No, sorry, about McCarthy. Oh, okay. And then Drake May, as we saw in this pro day we're about to talk about, he has a rocket arm. He can throw it down the field, but he can't make the easy passes, the gimme passes. Mm-hmm. So I think there's talent there, but I think he needs some time to sit back and figure out his game and fine-tune some things. And so with that being said, I think Penix is going to move into that first round, late first round, kind of just like they did with Lamar.
But let me say you one thing about that whole situation. I think it's going to be interesting to see them in 4 or 5 years to see what exactly and how they panned out. Because I figure, you know, you put Penix in the right situation, I think he does have that trajectory at the end of the day, because I think he has great tools. Mm-hmm. He's played a whole lot of football, you know, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. He started at Indiana, played a couple years. So he learned what it was like not to play with necessarily the greatest talent in the world. Mm-hmm. And then you transition over, you know, into a great situation at Washington where you're playing with all these players. And then all of a sudden the spotlight gets on you. But at the same point in time, he was winning. You're in the playoffs. You're in a national championship game. Mm-hmm. I just really don't understand how you knock a guy again at the end of the day for having one bad game when his track record says this.
Right.
Ever since he was at Washington, it said that. So, I mean, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see who, quote unquote, is that dude from this class. Because I think it could go a lot of different ways at the end of the day. I don't know if Caleb, you know, is a monster at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he
you
is.
Know, I mean, I think he's getting put in a great situation. Mm-hmm. They're putting a good thing around him, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I mean, you never know.
You never know
who could, you know, propel a team from, you know, hey, we had, you know, some poor talent. Now we got a few players and now I'm pulling everybody up with me by the bootstraps. I don't know. We'll see at the end of the day.
And the reality is not all these quarterbacks. There's a bunch of them. They all have talent. But as we've seen year over year for several decades, now for our entire life, these draft classes, only one or two are going to come out of that draft class and be successful. Right. I think there's only been one draft class in our lifetime where three have had tremendous success, and that was the Roethlisberger class with Roethlisberger,
Eli,
and my man who went to the Chargers.
Right, Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. That was the last class where you had three highly producing quarterbacks that had longevity with their career. So, you know, the odds are overwhelmingly in the favor of a handful, a good portion of these quarterbacks out of this crop not being successful.
Right. Right.
Cheers. Don't mind.
Yes, sir.
So what are your thought processes on Drake May?
Like you said, I think, you know, big, strong arm. I think the thing about the NFL is, I mean, that's sexy. So at the end of the day, you're always going to get, you know, a nod. You're always going to get a hand, you know. You're always going to get ahead of a lot of other people because you do have a big arm. Mm-hmm. He has some experience at the end of the day. The thing I always say is give him a chance. I mean, you know, hey, you're supposed to be this. Let's see it. Let's see you prove it at the end of the day. And if you warrant you being a high selection, because you were able to come in and handle the pressure, you were able to come in and make the throws, you were able to improve yourself, say, hey, you know, you quote-unquote say, I can't make the intermediate to short play. Mm-hmm. I can't read a defense and, you know, make a quick decision. Okay, well, give me the opportunity and let's see. Now, at the end of the day, me, am I rolling with him? I don't think so. Not my guy.
He reminds me, you know, it comes from UNC, he reminds me of Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
Where everybody had these hopes and wished that Mitch Trubisky was going to be good. Remember, he got picked before Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Got picked before my man Deshaun. And Deshaun Watson was in the same conference as him. Whipped him four times out of the four
and
times that they played. And won a national championship. In some kind of way, they still thought Mitch Trubisky was going to be better. And this dude reminds me kind of that. He came in with the preconceived notion that he was going to be the number two quarterback. And, you know, he lost, you know, his best wide receiver to the draft last year. Mm-hmm. And so some of the excuses are he has a new coaching staff. He doesn't have quality weapons that these other players have had. And for me, I see that not as a challenge, but as an opportunity. You know, if you're a great quarterback, you're supposed to be lifting the players around you.
Exactly.
And I don't know if he quite was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he does have the physical attributes that could allow him to be great. But the question is, where do you think Drake May is going to go? You know, we've heard him tied to possibly Washington, which I don't think is accurate. We've heard him tied to possibly the Patriots, which I don't quite think is accurate. But first, before I tell you who I think he's going to go, where do you think he's going to go?
You know what? Honestly, I feel like somebody's going to be foolish and take him real, real high.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of watching Daniel Jones get selected out of Duke that year. And I was just like, really?
That was like, ridiculous.
It was just ridiculous.
That was one of the most egregious picks I've ever seen.
Right. Hey, it was no justification behind that. Outside of, you know, somebody, you know, was like, hey, I want that guy.
Gettleman.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, are you serious? I'm pretty sure the war room was looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? But hey, at the end of the day, hey.
And you said something earlier. You said, I can't wait to see what happens 5 years from now.
Right.
Well, we're at that 5-6 years from when, when Daniels got picked.
Exactly.
And we see what a travesty that was for that franchise. You know, he's been hurt multiple times. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played well. His breakout season was 15 touchdowns. That was his breakout season.
Come on now. And it didn't really pan out. And so you let Saquon go to give him a contract.
Correct. And now they're trying to get out of the contract.
Yeah. Well, come on now. That's blasphemy. Right. The fact that you would give away Saquon to give him a contract, talking about he didn't deserve it. Saquon didn't earn his money. At least he earned it.
At least he earned it. At least everybody can, you know, who has eyes using that eye test can say, and can feel that Saquon is special.
Right.
They knew that when he was being drafted, he was special. And you can still say that 5-6 years later that he's special. Daniel Jones, nobody thought he was special then.
No way.
And we look now, we know he wasn't special. So,
exactly.
I agree. I can't wait till 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Three to 5 years from now, we'll be able to definitively know who was the truth and who were frauds.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who, unfortunately, that I believe is going to pick him up is the Minnesota Vikings. And the reason why is their quarterback coach is McCowan. McCowan was his coach in high school.
Uh-huh.
So when you have that type of relationship, you have McCowan talking about, I know he's special. I know what this kid is built out of. And they're going to, you know, Kwesi, the general manager, is, I believe, going to unfortunately spend those two first round picks that he's accumulated
to move up
mm-hmm. to the third or fourth spot and grab Drake May. And you know, it could be to the detriment of his career, of his role as general manager, because I don't know how excited Justin Jefferson's going to be.
They got to play that real, real, real close, because at the end of the day, this contract time for
this contract time, and it's like so. You know, if he's not happy with the selection, then you have to overpay him even more. And he's over talking about, he said no to a $30 million deal. So
now
you're talking about $33, $34, $35 million. You got to pay a wide receiver,
right?
And you know, you're going to have to overpay if he's not completely excited about this quarterback. Now, for Penix, where do you think Penix is going to go?
No, I'll be honest with you. I like the idea of him coming to the Raiders. I do.
I do too.
I do like the idea. I don't think we'll do it though, because I think we have other needs at the end of the day that are just a little bit more, you know, a little more on the high priority list for us right now. But I would hate to see him slide to the second round, because I just don't feel like, I feel like he deserves to be treated better than that.
I agree.
I think at the end of the day, I like a team maybe like the Rams, who it's time for you to transition.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, situations like that would be good for him, you know, to come in, sit 1 year. And I hate the fact that he's a little older, but still, I think he has time to have a great career. I would like him to go to Seattle, possibly. Just a team where he can come in and sit. Like, I don't want to see him come in and play right away. That's just me. Just give him 1 year, or give him a team where maybe a player is only going to play half the season, maybe like how Pittsburgh, and, you know, that might possibly happen with a transition. I would like to see a situation like that. So,
see, I would, you know, ultimately love, because I think he's capable and ready. Like you said, he's played a bunch of games. He's a 5-year senior. So he has the experience. They talk about his intellect and being able to understand the game. What I've heard from his interviews, I think he actually is ready to play. And because he's older, I think they need to sit over here and not wait till he's 30 before he reaches his 5th-year contract and it's time to pay him, because then that will be used against him. But the reality is I don't think that there's a team that's going to pick him up that needs a quarterback right now, unless the Raiders are able to pick him up with, I believe, their 44th pick, or the 44th pick of the draft, which is in their second round. So I think that would be a perfect spot for him. I don't know if he will get there, because he is getting that mojo and that momentum behind him after a great combine and pro day. But if he does, I think that's a no-brainer.
But you know, the thing about it that I was thinking is, the reason why I say that is because I feel like if he doesn't go to a team where there are a lot of pieces like kind of already in place, I think at the end of the day, it might not be the best situation for him, because you're going to put the pressure on him. And I think,
I agree.
I'm not going to lie, for a player like Penix, I think the pressure to perform early is massive, just because they've been knocking you this whole time. So they're not going to hesitate. You got to justify the pick, and they're not going to hesitate to knock you even more. Oh, he wasn't ready, I told you so. I don't think that'll happen to Drake May. I think Drake May will get a chance like Mitchell Trubisky got. Like, I was like, I don't even understand why this dude keeps getting chances at the end of the day, man.
Right.
Like, you proved, you know, you didn't quite have it. And you go to Pittsburgh, you still don't quite have it. And even in Chicago, it was clear that he didn't
egregious.
Have it. And even when he performed slightly, you know, better than what he did the previous year, it was like, oh, my God, he's trending in this direction. I'm like, nah, bruh. Like, he plateaued year one, and you're just not being honest with yourselves as far as the evaluation. So I just don't want him to fall in one of those positions.
Right.
Like, I would love for him. So say if he was going to Chicago, where you got the whole offense is pretty much in place. I would be like, you know what? I don't mind you going there starting, because you got people to take the pressure off you. But when you're going into, you know, a terrible team, I don't want to see him like that.
Think he's going to get picked high enough to be in a terrible team. So this might be a blessing in disguise for him, that that them sleeping on him is going to enable him to get into a situation that's better. But you mentioned a team that made a lot of sense to me, and that's the Seahawks. You know, with Geno there, the head coach that was with him in Washington is now the offensive coordinator there.
Yes,
so I think that makes a whole lot of sense. My problem, or my concern with that situation, is I think, you know, a lot of people are talking a lot of shit about Geno, mostly people that don't remember when he came in the league, how highly touted he was at West Virginia. They don't understand and respect the work that this man has put into his craft to get to this point and being a starting quarterback. And he's spent 2 years now with top 10 performance as an NFL quarterback, as a starting quarterback.
Yes.
And everybody is still screaming that he needs to be replaced. And I just can't understand the thought process with that. But, you know, I would hate Geno to get kind of passed over just because he's Geno. And, you know, just because he isn't touted, he's doing a quality job. And if Penix comes, you know, Geno has the rest of this year. They can get out of his contract at the end of this year and usher Penix in. And then Geno then becomes a journeyman.
But you got to think of the fan base, too. It only makes sense.
Oh, now that is.
It only makes sense.
It only makes sense with that, with the fan base already being familiar with him, already being avid supporters of him, taking that team for the first time in, I think, something like 20 years. To a national championship. Because I remember when we were kids,
Washington was a deal.
And so, yeah, that is an all around, that makes a whole lot of sense for Seattle. Now Drake May, like I said, I believe he's going to probably go to the Vikings, because you have that commonality. The challenge with that is that you have Donald and you have Drake May. And that's a tough, bleak situation to have your quarterback room in when you got those two individuals. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. This draft, and I think we've been watching this. There are more trades in the draft than they've ever been, you know, in the past.
Right.
And I think this is going to be one of the most busy, one of the most interesting in terms of movement
right.
In the draft that we've seen in quite some time. So I'm super excited about what's going to happen with this draft. But speaking of drafts and what we kind of foresee, you know, we've talked a whole lot about quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We've had an opportunity to talk about some wide receivers. You know, the one thing we've neglected and partly to do is because this part of the draft is weaker this year than it has been in years prior. Mm-hmm. But defense.
Right.
And there are also some defensive players in this draft that you can get excited about. For you, who's your most exciting defensive candidate to get drafted this year?
Well, you know, as a Raider fan, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing if maybe we might get a DB. I think at the end of the day, we definitely need some help in the secondary.
Yeah.
The draft picks that we've tried to reach for, they just haven't really panned out. And we have a huge gap right now. So I would love to see Mitchell,
yeah,
you know, come to the team, let him play some man, lock some people up, show what he can do. I love Jerry Verse for anybody who might, you know, want to pick him. I think his production, I think going from a small school, moving up to D1, you still try to make that transition and you're still excelling as one right. of the better players as far as an edge rusher. I like that as well. I like the swag of the other corner from Alabama. I believe his name is Arnold.
Arnold.
Uh-huh. I like him. Mm-hmm. I like him. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Sauce Gardner was coming out the draft, mm-hmm. where it was a lot of swag, but at the end of the day, his play matched it. So mm-hmm. I think something like that is cool. It's a lot of young defenders. I like the guy from UCLA. I like him as well.
You got Turner from Alabama as well.
Yeah, the linebacker.
Yeah, he's the true. The linebacker mm-hmm. or the edge.
Edge.
Right. So he's expected. Latu. A lot of people like Latu, right, from UCLA. The challenge is he used to be in Washington, and yeah. he hurt his neck. He had to medically retire, got some other opinions, and they said, no, you can actually come mm-hmm. back after a year being medically retired. So he transferred over to UCLA, and he's great. People were a little bit concerned about his athletic ability, but he performed well at the combine, and really what he is he's a technician. He mm-hmm. has the moves.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Works at his craft.
Yeah, it works at his crafts. And I haven't seen the all 22s and all that, but from the many highlights I've seen of him, you can see the motor.
Right.
And you can see how technical he is with his hands, you know, to get through and, you know, swim moves.
Yeah, whatever you need. He'll give it to you.
Needs. So, you know, but when we just see Van Der Esch have to medically retire from neck issues, mm-hmm. it's a little bit concerning to bring somebody in high up in the first round when they have the possibility of one more big hit. And Van Der Esch got out on getting bumped by an offensive by Trent Williams into one of his own players, mm-hmm. and the dude can't play anymore.
Right.
So we know how tricky it could be. And he had some neck issues prior to that
as well.
He did. And so that's a little bit concerning, but his skill set is all there.
Mm-hmm.
Turner is a little bit raw, but his athletic prowess is there.
It can't be denied.
And Verse, who was a star basketball player in high school, so obviously the athleticism is there as well. I've heard a lot of great things. I've heard some negative, or not necessarily negatives, but kind of downers in terms of why he's a third, because when you look at him, you're like, man, this is a big boy. He's athletic. But like you said, he came from the smaller school, so he's not quite as refined.
Who you talking about? Verse.
Not quite as refined. That's what, you know, the experts are saying. Mm. And I don't claim to be an expert. I just claim to sit over here. And if I see somebody that pops, I know that they're
okay.
the truth. You know, and he does pop. But when you put the microscope to him, they said there are a few things that prevent him from being the number one. But I do like him. Now, from cornerback standpoint, Mitchell, I think he's rough and rugged. I think he's a dog. You talked about Arnold from Alabama is a dog, mm-hmm. and highly rated as mm-hmm. well. But one of the most highly rated cornerbacks, whether you're talking about one or two on most people's draft boards, is Wiggins from Clemson. Who's a dog, who's a hound for the ball, and find that ball and go after it. So I like Wiggins as well. I think the Raiders could go could be going down the right pathway with either Mitchell or Wiggins.
Right.
But the wild card is my man Ladd. You know, people talk about he's the number one cornerback on the draft board. What are y'all smoking? Number one, but he's good. I know you've seen him play a little bit. Ladd.
What are you talking about?
Cooper? Ladd. That's the wide receiver. I'm talking about Cooper.
Cooper DeJean?
Yeah, Cooper DeJean.
Hey man, leave Cooper alone, man.
I think he come from Iowa. You know Iowa's about that defense, so I'm rocking with Cooper. My concern is when he was hurt at the end of the season, so he didn't get a chance to compete. They say he's going to have a pro day in a couple of weeks, an individual pro day, just to be able to show his deal. So it's interesting how one individual can have some injuries 3 years ago, and it's like, he can't go the first round. Another dude is injured up until the draft, and they're like, no,
he's okay.
So, you know, that's interesting, but I think it's the what am I looking for? The word, like, kind of like the sideshow, the circus of having Cooper as a DB, but he's a white dude, you know. But from what I've seen of him, the dude can play. What are your thoughts on Cooper?
Hey, let me take my sip.
That juice
exactly. But at the end of the day, I watched him. I can't say I've seen a whole lot of
greatness.
I'm not even gonna say greatness. I'm gonna say I didn't see a whole lot of versatility in what he did. I think that's the best way to describe it. I think at the end of the day, he played a certain way. They didn't ask him to do a whole lot. He made plays.
He was serviceable.
I'm not even gonna say. I think he was better than serviceable as far as what they asked, he did. He made plays. Dude got a lot of interceptions at the end of the day. He returned a lot to the house. Yeah, but it's like, come on now. Like, I mean, you know, would I trust him on the island? Like, look, man, I need you to go over there and cover this dude.
I can't
give you no help.
No.
I need you to go out there. Nah, I can't do that. I'm not even going to, you know, put him out there like that. I think it would not even be fair to him because you're not even playing to his strengths. Maybe if he goes on a team who plays a whole lot of zone and, you know, maybe, you know, it'd be a little better for him. But I think to be a perennial all-pro corner,
I think that's going to be tough.
It's tough.
But, you know, you and I were talking a little bit earlier and you said, but give him a shot. And I agree with that. I don't think anybody, just out of presumption, should not get the opportunity, especially when they've been able to demonstrate it. But I will also tell you this. There's a reason why he was able to get those interceptions. The greatest cornerbacks, as you know, being a former football player, the greatest cornerbacks traditionally don't get a lot of interceptions. And why is that?
They don't get a lot of passes.
They don't get a lot of passes thrown to them. So really what you saw were offenses and quarterbacks from the opposite team doubting him, probably based on upon his complexion, his race.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, this white dude ain't going to be able to throw a hole. And so they were throwing to him. He rose to the occasion and was in a position to get interceptions. And to his credit, he was able to convert those opportunities into results. So I feel him on that. So, you know, when you're able to take those opportunities and turn them into results, what I can say is that Cooper did what he was supposed to do, what was needed of him. What I don't want to have happen to him in the league, so we continue this parade of excitement about him, is one, don't try to put him up against somebody like a Jefferson, Adams, Tyree. Anybody real. You need to get him on that that why. You know, you on that wide receiver.
So,
you don't need to be on that CMX. Yeah.
Hey, man.
No, the tight end.
Third or fourth receiver.
But, I, you know, for me, I would say if you want him to be great, put him at safety. because he does have the athletic ability to be a safety. He's not afraid of, you know, the physicality and the contact of it. And so if you want to get the most out of him, a free safety that has cornerback skills is extremely valuable. We saw that with the Rams when they went on their championship run with Rapp, who's now at, with the Buffalo Bills. You know, that's a great piece to have. And you know, I would say like a team that has two strong cornerbacks and then you put him at safety. Now you got a problem on defense. But it's interesting. I can't wait to see how this all unfolds. I can't wait to see his pro day because we're definitely going to revisit this when he has his pro day in a couple of weeks, right before the next week, right before the draft, because the draft is coming up on the 25th. So he's a week or two away from his pro day, and we're going to talk about it and see how he runs and see how he looks. And it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in the draft. But so let me ask you this. We've kind of touched on it. So you feel the Raiders, I just want to kind of touch on our two individual teams. You feel that the Raiders obviously need a cornerback. Who else? You think they need a quarterback?
You said who?
A quarterback. We know we need a defensive back. Now, do you need a quarterback too?
Absolutely. We do need a
quarterback. In the draft.
You know what? I think we have so many other needs. I think at the end of the day, we might need to pass just this time. And every other year, I would be the pro quarterback every year. Ever. You trade up. Damn it. You can trade our whole top two, three picks if you need to, but we need to go up and get somebody. But I'm not in love with nobody in this draft necessarily. I feel like maybe if the right player falls to us from the quarterback position, I think let's talk business. But to go get somebody, nah, I'm not going to get none of these guys. Like I don't believe, you know, even if Caleb became available, and it wasn't even expensive. I can't say like I'm like all in love. I'm not. I mean, I'm not enthralled. I mean, you showed me some things. I think at the end of the day, you're talented. I think. I wonder if you're all football though. Like, are you a football guy? Like a guy who's, you know, like I live and bleed and, you know, die football. Like I'm here, you know.
And I think we know that's not the
like,
case.
Nah, I think you know, going to SC. I mean, you know, this is L.A., baby. It's Hollywood, you know. And I think, you know, eventually he kind of transitioned from football to Hollywood a little bit. So, you know.
And I don't think that would have happened if they would have stayed in Oklahoma.
Nah.
I think if Lincoln Riley would have stayed in Oklahoma, I think because when he came in as a freshman, took over for Spencer Rattler, and never gave the role back.
Never did.
He was a monster.
Right.
It almost saw that his skill set didn't drop, but his focus, you know, tended to drop. And then, you know, he started believing in his hype of generational and so on and so forth. I'm hearing stories that he wasn't talking to anybody on the team except Lincoln Riley. He wasn't even talking to his offensive coordinator. He was just like, yo, you want to talk to me? Talk to Lincoln, and Lincoln will talk to
crazy.
Me.
Hey, that's crazy.
All I'm saying is, it's a cat like that back in our day, he'd have to take that fade, and he'd have to get that ass whooping for even coming into, and I don't care if you are the quarterback or not, at the end of the day, this is a team deal. And then you saw the big scandal when he was at the U.S., or not scandal, but the big brouhaha when he was at the ladies, the Trojans tournament, he had the pink,
with
the pink phone and the pink, like,
lip gloss, whatever it was.
And then, you know, his response to it was the next day he was on the field and he's talking about, my nails are clear, my case is still pink, and my lips is pink, but your girl like him. That don't sound like, that's not a G call to me. You know, he didn't come across as a G. He didn't come across as somebody that I would want to
be led by,
follow, or be in a foxhole with. And again, I don't know if I'm being too rough on him because the expectation is so high for him, but he doesn't get me warm and fuzzy inside.
None of these guys do.
But it's so funny, Justin Fields did. Justin Fields, ever since he was in college, I felt warm inside about Justin Fields. I felt fired. Yeah. Always loved him. When I saw how he gave Trevor Lawrence the business, I felt good about him. When I saw how he fought against Georgia in the championship game with bruised ribs, when I saw how he went out there and gave everything that he had when they did not wrap a team around him, when he had to deal with all those challenges, you know, my man, Caleb, had some challenges, and he went and cried in the stands with his mama. and Justin Fields wouldn't have done that.
Nah.
You understand what I'm saying? So from a leadership perspective, that doesn't get me excited.
It doesn't do nothing for you.
I think you
are correct about Justin. I think, I think he just fell into a bad situation, man. You know, Chicago hasn't had a great quarterback since.
Ever. Like, literally. Like they said some one cat we ain't never seen from the
50s. Right.
But, you know.
Ever.
Jim McMahon.
He was terrible. It was terrible.
But he looked real when we was kids.
But he was terrible.
He had that swag.
And that's what it was. But if you look at his numbers and his stats, he was terrible.
Right.
He was absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. He was below basic. Yeah. But you just happen to play for the Chicago Bears and you're winning. Mm-hmm. But if you don't play on that defense, nobody ever really knows who Jim McMahon is at the end of the day, to be honest with
Very
you.
True.
So, you know, you were handing the ball off to Walter Payton was your job, and don't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I think at the end of the day, as far as these quarterbacks are concerned, we shall see. Because I'm just not sold. I'm not sold on nobody.
What about Maybe Spencer? Jaylen. What about Spencer Rattler?
I don't like Spencer
Rattler. Really?
Mm-mm. I didn't like him at Oklahoma when he was a starter. I see why he got his job taken. I think he was
arrogant.
I think he was very arrogant.
But life humbles you.
But you know what? I watched him in the high school quarterback series. Mm-hmm. I think the Elite 11 or something like that. I had watched him, and I was like, "You're cool. Like you're cool, but you know, just keep working. You know, don't let your head get too big because you're not too far ahead from the rest of these guys. Like it's dudes out here with more talent than you."
But you got to remember, Spencer Rattler was the number two. Spencer Rattler was supposed to be next to who came out last year. He was just below somebody. It was him and somebody. Who was the number one last year?
Number quarterback?
Yeah, no. So it was old boy from the Panthers.
And dude, And C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud wasn't one of the top quarterbacks coming out of high school.
No, right. Well, no, C.J. Stroud was top, but not top.
No, he wasn't top.
But Rattler was number two compared with somebody else. And I can't think of who it was, but he was number two. Along with somebody else, and they came out earlier than him because he had to kind of reset his career.
He wasn't with DJ, the guy from Clemson who transferred to Oregon State, who's now at Florida State.
No. It was a white dude that he was battling, but Spencer Rattler was like the second coming in Oklahoma. But like he said, he didn't play well, and it's amazing how you didn't play well in a conference that didn't play any defense. You know what I'm saying?
Well, every quarterback in that system excelled or damn near won the Heisman. Mm-hmm. I think, everybody in that system
won the Heisman in that system in the last 5-6 years with Lincoln Riley, and he didn't play well, and I think that was because he was a little bit too arrogant. I think he stopped really dialing in. He got humbled. He went to South Carolina, and I applaud that. Mm-hmm. You go from the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken, to the SEC, and went and did his deal. And, you know, he didn't have great talent, but he had a little bit. He got a wide receiver coming out that's, you know, he's going to be a fringe first-round, early second-round pick. Leggett, is it Leggett?
I believe that is his name.
I think it's Leggett. Mm-hmm. You know, Swole, you know, came out of nowhere, boom, took it. They have a decent tight end there. So he didn't have great talent, but he had good enough talent. And a lot of people like him. A lot of people have says he's matured. A lot of people says that he's really dialed in and focused. So I think a lot of people are talking about that could be the steal of the draft that you can pick up in the third or fourth round.
I agree. So I think you get that jack all trades player, like a Debo, you know,
or
you know, like you said, talking about Rattler, I think you know, give him a shot.
Well, that's what I'm talking about for the Raiders. So the Raiders, if they miss out on Penix because he gets drafted too early,
I'm not spending the third, but maybe fourth or fifth, I give him a shot and see what he has.
So who else do the Raiders need?
Man, we need so much. We need so much. I would like a receiver. You know, maybe a player like Worthy falls into the second round, or even a Thomas from LSU possibly falls in the second round, which I doubt really happens.
I like Thomas.
I like him. I like him almost as much as I like Neighbors, to be honest with you, because I believe, you know, scoring all them touchdowns, it says a whole lot about you. He has more size. And he has, you know, better speed than Neighbors.
They say he's Metcalf-like. So when you have Adams mm-hmm. and the X,
you got a compliment.
And you got Meyer.
Yeah.
Meyer.
Jacoby. Uh-huh.
Jacoby, which I really like, mm-hmm. can play on the outside, but Jacoby can also play on the inside. Mm-hmm. And then you put that big body in the Y. I like, or in the Z. Sorry, in the Z. I really like that three-pronged approach. Mm-hmm. But again, who's a quarterback?
You know, I think the way they're gonna play football, just the whole concept in itself, I think it doesn't really matter this year. I think they try to kind of hide it a little bit and try to see if there's some development from the young quarterback, to be honest with you. And I think they give him another shot because I think he showed some development towards the end of the year that said, I don't know if he can be a great quarterback, but he can be a quarterback that as far as what you need him to do, I think he might fit that bill.
And they're going to be a smash mouth.
Right.
And so that's where the concern is with them even contemplating getting a wide receiver, because that wide receiver from LSU would he's projected as the fourth wide receiver to go off the board. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about that wide receiver, the fourth wide receiver on the board, you're going to have to get him in late round. Or get him 13th, or you're not going to make it to the second.
Right.
So that's probably not even a realistic option for the Raiders because, like we said, the DB is so important to the team. I don't know if there's another wide receiver that's worth it to get in later rounds if you're going to be a smash mouth team when you have Mayer as your tight end, which showed some promise last mm-hmm. year, and then with Meyer, Jacoby, and then with Adams, mm-hmm. I don't know if you really need to spend a high draft pick to get not high.
I'm thinking more in the second round. If you can get something like you never expected him to fall this far.
Right. Somebody who slipped.
Yeah, somebody who slipped.
I like the cat from Georgia. They said he has off-field. I can't even think of his name. They said he has off-field
issues.
Dude, boo-bop somebody like the Georgia lost.
Right.
They smashed the field. He turned around and smashed somebody.
Showed his shoulders.
So, yeah, so this dude be over here tripping. And so, and I guess he did something else off the field. So, but the dude is a monster from Georgia. Georgia's number one wide receiver that he should be going in the first round. But they said he's so volatile that he's falling down.
Okay.
So that might be somebody that should over him pick. Because he's another big body like that. Runs, not quite as fast, but still a big body. More like a Mike Evans.
Okay.
Like Evans type that I could see, getting that second or third round. But who else with the Raiders? You said they can use a wide receiver. We know we can use a DB. I think the line is straight.
I think I could see them maybe possibly going O-line, but
the line is decent, though.
The line is decent, but I think at the end of the day, having a player like Jacobs makes your line look a lot better than what it is. And I think the transition from Jacobs to, this guy from Georgia,
who, the dude that played last year with Jacobs?
Zaire White.
He was decent.
He was cool.
But I think they need to get another wide receiver. No, he played well. He played well,
but you're figuring, so now you're going to ask him to be the guy, like that guy. I think that's, I'm not sold just yet. But we shall, we're going to see. We're going to see what he can do.
And they want to do smash mouth. Then you need to get somebody else anyway. Mm-hmm. There's a big wide, big running back that's like 223. You remember Brandon? What's the dude from the
Jacobs,
Giants?
Uh-huh.
Was it Brandon Jacobs?
Yep.
There's a dude that's like Brandon Jacobs. Is being counted to Brandon Jacobs. You want to do smash mouth?
That's saying a lot.
I like that dude. I can't remember what school he went to, but he's like, 6'2", 225. I think it was in Wisconsin. Not a lot of shake.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Antonio Pierce is sitting over saying, like, boom, we're going to run it hard. So you run it with these two cats, and then you allow Adams. But
So this is my thing. And as far as Raider lore, what we do. We go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Blow the top off. You got to compliment Adams because Adams, he can blow the top off, but he's more of an intermediate route runner.
Intermediate,
he's a technician.
Yeah.
He gets open. He leverages his position on mm-hmm. the field. He's a real high IQ receiver
cerebral.
As far as mm-hmm. what he does.
Without a doubt.
So as far as having somebody work the middle of the field and all that, now you need somebody at the end of the day, if that DB stays flat-footed or if you call the wrong play, if you go zero coverage, now at the end of the day, we need somebody that's going to run right by you and scare you. Mm-hmm.
And that's where Worthy comes
in. And that's what, you know, a player like Worthy does come
in. And that's quintessential. That's indicative of who the Raiders have picked for decades. They're going to pick the fastest player.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and the challenge is, you can't pick Worthy at 13. Not at 175 pounds.
No.
And he's definitely not going to last till 44 because he sit over and has that record. And consensus is that he's good. He didn't have the greatest season last season, not the 2020, but 2022, because he broke his hand. Mm-hmm. So he had some drops.
Right.
So people that didn't know he broke his hand were just saying, oh, this dude can't catch the ball. He drops. He's like every other fast player. You know, he's not really a wide receiver. He's a try guy, but right. This dude actually is a player.
And
not scared for the contact. Like, he will go after and drop his shoulder.
He's trying to score.
Or try to at least maximize the amount of yards that he can get. Again, the challenge is I don't think that he can sit over here and they're going to be in position to grab him in terms of where they pick. But who I do think can grab him.
Who's that?
It's my Chiefs. And as much as Chiefs would say, yeah, you know, we don't need Tyreek and the speed and, you know, we can find other ways to win, that's unequivocally correct. They've obviously showed it with back-to-back Super Bowls. But the reality is that, you know, we knew prior to this weekend that they needed some wide receiver help.
Mm-hmm.
But with, unfortunately, our man Rashee Rice sitting over here want to be a speedster. He wants to be, you know, a race car driver on the freeway. And sits over here and literally just a NASCAR. You see, they get an accident and you got eight car accident. Right. He actually did that on the freeway racing a Lamborghini. And so, I just don't quite know if I think Worthy will be there. But then when you talk about Rice might be facing a suspension for some time, your wide receiver that you're hoping to step up can't be 175 pounds light in the booty.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? To sit over and do that. I think that if Rice would not have tricked off and made that mistake, that you could bring him in as a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are able to bring in some of those very speedy routes that Tyreek used to run. I think that is now changed a little bit. Unless they find somebody in, you know, wide receiver 12, wide receiver 14, wide receiver 18 that they can pick Worthy and that other individual in the end of the third, early fourth to compliment. And then you get both of those individuals, but you can't sit over here and do that to Patrick again.
Dude.
Now they got him Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
They did. Hollywood ain't.
And actually, when I think about that,
I think
he's not, but he's also the speedster. So I think that kind of knocks Worthy out of the contention for that. I think that you have Hollywood. I think they were expecting Rice to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He will be there in some capacity at some point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to need to find probably a taller a replacement for MVS.
You think so? So let me tell you about the Chiefs. They just make good decisions. They do. They make it work.
But they didn't want Clyde Helaire. And they let Mahomes pick Clyde Helaire.
But they make it work. They make it work. Whatever it is that they get, you know, they turn some into this.
Well, Mahomes.
They figure it out.
Mahomes.
Well, he does it. I mean, you already know what he is. But I'm not going to take nothing away from Andy Reid.
Andy Reid
is a guru.
He can fuck around and go down as the supersede
Belichick
as a great.
Easy
I mean, he's close. He's right there.
I mean, at the end of the day, he can ride Mahomes like Belichick rode
Tom Brady. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he has a resume pre-Mahomes that says, maybe I was actually better than this because I rode Donovan. We didn't win a Super Bowl, but we was performing at the end of the day. And he rode Alex Smith. And people forget that Alex Smith was the quarterback, and Andy Reid figured out an offense for him that worked.
That worked. They were perennially in the playoffs every single year. It's not like they got Mahomes. They had to trade up to get Mahomes at 10. So it wasn't like, you know, they were a weak team that was struggling when Mahomes came. They were a playoff team
before Mahomes. Kelce was Kelce before Mahomes ever stepped on the field. And I'm like, I hope people remember that. Like, Alex Smith put up numbers with Kelce. It just wasn't sexy, but it was boom, 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 boom. You're going to run these 5-10-yard routes, and I'm going to throw it to you. And he was still getting busy even then.
That's the role they need to sit over and backfill. Probably not in the first, because the only person that – and this is a weak tight end draft. You basically only have Bowers that's special from the tight end perspective. Last year was much more of the special – tight end class. You know, they had Kincaid, they had my man that's with the Detroit Lions. You know, they had those players that could be special.
Right.
Laporta. You know, Laporta, I would have Anna Myers, right. Yeah. And old boy from Green Bay who got hurt.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of his name. But they had a crop. There's only one other tight end, I can't think of his name, that's in this crop. That's a Bowers like. That's not a blocking tight end, but a receiving tight end, like a Pitts, right? But I think they need to find that. They need to find that quick. They sent over and got some old boy who was originally Ingram. Is it Ingram? No, not Ingram. He was with the Vikings. He was drafted by the Vikings. Was always hurt. Then he went to Cincinnati on a 1-year deal.
Not Irv Smith.
Irv Smith. Oh, okay. They just got Irv Smith in free agency.
Okay.
Now, you think something's there, but I don't think Irv Smith can replace Kelce.
No.
They need to find somebody to sit over here and replace Kelce.
No.
Because Kelce obviously is starting to show the wear and tear.
Absolutely.
Of a phenomenal Hall of Fame career. He has some a whole lot of distractions with all these commercials that he's doing in his superstar move. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's time to find somebody to place him, because what I would be completely afraid of is you have this mediocre wide receiving tandem, and Kelce gets hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelce falls off the cliff,
right?
Or he just steadily continues to decline. And they can't have an opportunity to three-peat. So it's going to be very interesting to see where my Chiefs go. I think they also need to get some offensive line help. They brought in some free agencies. They didn't play
and
great.
Some corners. Huh? Listen, you need some corners, too, because you just traded your man away.
Well, here's where the twist is. They have a cat that got hurt in preseason, but he is perceived to be a bad man, and that's why they were comfortable to let my man go.
Off the preseason?
Off the preseason. Well, ooh. I mean, they said this dude is the truth.
It's true, yeah. Huh?
And they have a DB coach, which is special. His DB coach was actually up for some DC jobs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He actually interviewed for the 49ers job. He is special. And now what they've seen is they brought so many. They've done such a great job at identifying what are the best DBs for their defense that they have a plethora of them. They can sit over here and let Snead go and still fill in and have backfield. So I'm sure they're going to pick up one.
I would like to believe
just because they have such a gem in this coach that can sit over and coach them up. You bring in one late round that just has the intangibles.
Right. And that dog.
And that dog. And that's what really
you need.
You need that dog.
Exactly.
And let him be coached up for a year or two under this coach. And then let these other individuals that have been riding the pokey or were hurt come in and fill those gaps. Mm-hmm. And then so you can keep that cycle going of strong DBs. And really, actually, another position that they need edge. You know, I was disappointed. I was actually at the draft in Las Vegas. Took my son there for his birthday to the draft in Las Vegas. And they got Kyle Loftus, the white cat that they have as edge.
Who? For the Chiefs?
For the Chiefs.
Oh.
And, man, you know, I was disappointed in that pick. I'd never heard of this cat. Or you picking him in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a great rookie season. He had a better sophomore season, but he's still not great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually might be a huge need for them is to find another edge. Because when you have, you know, teams either build from the back forward or they build from the front back.
Right.
I'm still waiting for a team. And we saw the Eagles 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs, almost having both. Strong front and a strong back.
That's hard to do.
It's very hard to do. I would love to see the Chiefs with that. I think Carl Loftus, or whatever, however the hell you say his name is not enough in terms of pass rushers. Now, obviously, you got our man who was just re-signed.
Oh, monster. He got his money, and I'm glad he got
paid. Glad he got his money. But that's in the middle. Mm-hmm. We need some cats on the edge
to
sit over here and do the deal. So I think that's another significant need, even more than offensive line, because they've signed the two cats on the offensive line that still got at least one more year. So you find an edge rusher that is just a maniac. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not refined. Maybe his moves aren't that great, but he wants it, and he's a dog. He'll go in there and try to rip somebody's head off to help him. The DBs, I believe, are going to be all right. You can find somebody late in the, you know, fifth, sixth, or seventh that you can develop with this great coach that you have. But at the end of the day is, I think that defense, you got to keep it intact. We saw how important it was when Mahomes can't have the wide receivers or $30 million wide receivers.
Right.
How important that defense is to complement Mahomes
exactly.
to still win at a very high level.
You got to have it.
You know, like we said, it's all dreaming. Yeah. It's all hoping and wishing.
Yeah.
It's all thinking of sunshine and rainbows and angels and butterflies, and everything's going to be phenomenal until it's time to suit up and lace them up, you know, in late August, early September. But, you know, I can't wait to continue to watch this unfold. I can't.
You gotta see.
I look forward every single week to sit over and talk this game with you, with your immense knowledge, and insight into the game.
We learn something new every week.
Again, having a ball. I appreciate you. Much love, Church
yes, sir.
On the Move. We're gonna continue to talk this NFL action.
Yes, we will.
And we're gonna continue to talk this NFL draft and watch this season unfold right in front of our eyes. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
We're talking about that NFL. We're talking about that NFL draft and this free agency, and watch this offseason unfold right in front of us. But we appreciate you all. ATB Media Network, ladies and gentlemen, check us out. Also, like, subscribe, and download. And I would encourage you to check out this domain if you can find it. It is absolutely
yes, sir.
Phenomenal.
We're popping.
See you next week. Appreciate you.